And Justin Smith is Hawkeye Wealth. Very pleased to have him with me. He's got a great idea, so let's listen up for the big fat idea. Justin, thanks for taking time with me.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, let's start with you give it to me, and I'll ask you a few questions about it. What's the big fat idea?
Well, Mike, right now I really think it's a great time for your listeners to seriously consider investing in industrial real estate in the Lower Mainland.
Now, give me an idea why.
Well, it's really a basic supply and demand story. Right now, you've got surging demand for a few reasons. First is the rapid rise of online shopping that's moving the inventory from the retail shelves to the warehousing shelves. And then on top of that, the growth in the film and cannabis industry is eating up a lot of space. And then you combine those elements with the population growth in the Lower Mainland. And the appetite for that space is it's almost insatiable right now. So that's the demand side. On the supply side, there's very few existing buildings, one of the lowest industrial vacancy rates in North America right now, according to a recent Davidson & Young report. So it's hard to find quality space. That's pushing up lease rates, and there's also no land. There's looks like we could be out within the next 10 years, and there's no appetite from the government to pull it in from the land reserve. And it's very difficult to increase that density on that land because they're usually one floor, and due to logistical constraints, you can't build up like residential. So we're pretty fired up about industrial in the Lower Mainland right now.
Well, it's interesting, too, as obviously the government isn't interested in that area in the way they are with residential. There's so many regulations and rules. They don't seem to be looking at this side, which to me, I'll just tell you, would be attractive, you know, because they're focused on that residential. But the other point you're making, Justin, I just think it's fascinating how obviously the economy changes. And one of the things we know, the population growth sort of thing. But you look at, for example, the film industry and how much production is being made, whether it's Netflix. And I think that's why you're looking in Vancouver, for example, or the Lower Mainland, because, you know, you look at Netflix and the productions there, Amazon Prime. I mean, we got the new Disney Channel coming, of course, in November. I mean, the list just keeps going on for that kind of stuff. And then you say the e-commerce, because that's exploding and they need storage space.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask, but the thing is, I mean, obviously, I guess I can go out and buy a piece of industrial real estate. Can you give me some of the ways I could invest in it?
Of course, yeah. You can always go the industrial focused REIT route. It's great for liquidity here, although it does usually give you less control over the assets being invested in. So that's one potential downside to that option. You could buy an existing building. It's especially good if you can find a building that's currently significantly under rented with not too much time left on the lease, because you just wait out the lease and then re-rent it at current lease rates, and that just gives you a huge bump in the value. You could build it, although I would only recommend this if you have development expertise. And of course, finally, you can invest directly in a private offering with groups that buy existing buildings or develop. And of course, that's what we do at Hawkeye Wealth. I'm a little partial to that strategy.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I understand what you're saying there, that, you know, that's it's a private equity deal, but you're going in with a group and with somebody who has an expertise in that area. I mean, what worries me is, we could be talking stocks, and that's why we have Ryan Irvine coming on. We could be talking a variety of things. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. For example, you could build it yourself, and I would say, yeah, go ahead, but you got to have that development expertise, as you say. But it's the same thing with investing. I mean, it helps to have people who, in quotes, know what they're doing in this sphere. And that's why I kind of like the private equity kind of side to that.
Yeah. And my big thing is, if you are going to go out on your own right now, please be very patient to wait for the right deal. The market's really hot, and so it's incredibly easy to overpay right now. Just speaking to someone recently that landed a deal, they said they've been waiting almost 3 years until they found the right one. So there's still some deals out there if you have the right connections. But please be patient if you're going to do it on your own. And if you're going to do it with someone else, you know, that's what we're here for.
Okay, so I guess, I mean, you know this because you're dealing with people like this, but who have you found is interested in this kind of stuff and appropriate for?
Yeah, it's mostly investors that are considering options outside of the stock market right now just to diversify the portfolio, and also real estate investors that like the market fundamentals of the Lower Mainland, but they want to invest, like you say, in an asset class that has less government intervention right now, which is definitely the case for the industrial, as the government's more focused on curbing that residential pricing and rents, not industrial. So those are the two main groups.
And just quickly, or, you know, not so quickly, but I'm just saying, the other thing we always talk about is, of course, you know, we don't want people who have they got to be realistic about, you know, when you guys do one of these things, do a private equity deal, how long are you sort of telling people they should expect to hold it?
Yeah, well, for any types of these private offerings here, there is no absolute finish line in any of them. So what I'd say is, at a minimum, you should be expecting your money to be out for the next 3 to 5 years. But for all of our clients, of course, we go and we do a suitability analysis and determine what their need for liquidity is. Because, of course, one of the things about private equity real estate, you can't get out whenever you want. It's a bit more like a ride. You get on and you get off in the same place that you got on, right? So you're on for the entire duration. So it's for that portion of portfolio that that you're looking for a little bit higher returns, and you can be very specific on the deal that you're investing in, a deal that you like, but you have to be prepared to be in for the longer haul.
And back to the original point is that what's kind of interesting about this is I think a lot of people have a sense about the rise of e-commerce, for example, you know, and the need for, you know, we see space being brought up by companies like Amazon all the time. And I mean, many other companies, of course. And I think we do have an appreciation with the huge rise in streaming video, the growth of that industry. And I guess the other, I didn't say this before, can I throw this out at you? What about cannabis? Is that also a growth sort of area potentially for industrial real estate?
Yeah, I mean, I read a recent report saying that by 2020 they're going to need up to 8 million square feet of industrial space. So certainly they are a growing consideration for taking up that space. And Vancouver in the Lower Mainland has under 2% vacancy, and for industrial that's almost unheard of. So, you know, anything that adds fuel to this fire, it's crazy right now. And one last thing there, Mike, I'm in China every year, and you should see the adoption of e-commerce in China. We haven't seen anything yet in North America. And the reason they have it over there is because they have low cost of delivery, because they have low cost of labor, and they have density. We have neither of those things in Canada. But one day in Canada, we're going to have technology that allows that low cost of delivery in spite of our lower density and higher costs of labor. And I think that'll really speed up the adoption of e-commerce as it has in China. Nobody does anything barely on retail in China anymore.
Yeah, well, when you look at the huge trends that are occurring in Canada, too, and the U.S., of course, as you say, we're well on that path. And, you know, it's just a fascinating thing. And that's what I say. It's kind of an interesting growth area here, you know, an adjunct to the kind of growth in these kinds of industries, you know, at the same time. I really appreciate you finding time for us in the weekend. And I just tell people to go to HawkeyeWealth.com. HawkeyeWealth.com. Justin Smith, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
Well, I also want to make, by the way, a few other things. If you go to mikesmoneytalks.ca, you can get a copy. We're going to put it up there. You can get a copy of Hawkeye's Guide to Private Equity Real Estate, because that's some of the questions I don't get a chance. But if you're, this is kind of appropriate for you, go and take advantage. I think the more you know, better you can say if it's appropriate for you, whatever else you're doing. But if you can go to mikesmoneytalks.ca, you can get a copy of Hawkeye Wealth's Guide to Private Equity Real Estate. I'm going to take a break. I'll come back. I'm going to start with my quote of the week. At the top of the hour, I've got Ryan Irvine coming. Looking forward to that. And I've got Ozzie Jurek. Hey, I've got a question for you. Are you a flipper? Are you a speculator? Are you an investor when it comes to real estate? I'll ask Ozzie about that. And Victor Dare. I mean, boy, is there ever a lot to talk about in the market? Plus, I think a very good Goofy Award. Stay with us.